Welcome to the Move With Us podcast, where we talk all things health, fitness, relationships, and life. Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. I have two very special guests today. I've actually been a guest on their podcast a couple of times. You guys will all know the Happy Hour podcast. I actually also met Alexis through Happy Hour, and Alexis has been on this podcast a couple of times. But I'm sure you guys all know who I'm talking about now. But can we welcome Lucy and Nikki?
Hey everyone. It feels so weird not doing the intro.
Yeah, and is it weird being on someone else's podcast?
Yeah, when you first started talking, I was like, oh my God, why am I nervous?
I was about to interrupt and be like, cheers, babes. Oh, no, wrong one.
Cheers, babes, here we are.
So I was really stuck. I was like, what am I going to talk to Lucy and Nikki about? Because obviously we cover so much on their podcast about health and fitness. And I was like, I don't want to go down that avenue. I feel like I actually don't know that much about how you guys are where you are today. Your journey, your business journey, I guess your journey as people throughout that. And I kind of wanted to, I guess, understand how did Jagger and Stone start? How did Happy Hour start? And yeah, you guys have achieved some seriously incredible stuff. Small town girls.
We all small town girls.
Well, I guess we could start there because we know Rach from when we were in Townsville.
Yes.
Which is also where Nick and I met.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're not Townsville.
No, so I grew up in – we're both not from Townsville. Yes. So we met at uni in Townsville.
Mm. Okay.
We actually met at the V8 Supercars.
Oh, my God, I did that.
Being grid girls. Yeah. We were Fujitsu girls.
Yeah.
So we had like a really good little team. So it was kind of fun. And like we didn't have to wear like bikinis and stuff. We actually had to wear these really hot, weird dresses.
Yeah, these really hot zip-up dresses.
But you know, everyone starts somewhere. There you go, guys.
I feel like grid girls were so much more like kosher when we were younger, whereas I feel like now that people would almost be like, grid girls are just not a thing anymore. I don't know. Grid girls are a thing anymore.
Or was it just because we were in the moment?
I think it's just because we needed some cold hard cash.
Yeah. Or cash money.
I also did two bikini modeling comps back then, which I don't even know.
At the Mad Cow?
At the Mad Cow.
Oh my God.
Did you do it too?
No, I remember those.
Babe, honestly, there's a photo of me standing there. Like, I'm the least bikini model girl.
Can you please tell the story of how you use those photos to go for a job?
So Nick and I met being grid girls, but the way we got really close was because we worked for Red Bull together in Townsville.
That's what I remember you girls as, the Red Bull girls.
The crazy girls just bumping out the mini.
I'd be walking up the hill like little fitness Rachel and Nick's gonna be like, "Wah!"
Like, we'd be like, do you need a Red Bull to get you to the top? You're like, no.
I bet you said yes to a sugar-free.
I thought you guys are totally cool.
Did you?
Yeah. Thanks, babe. I was like, oh, they're so cool.
So we met at Red Bull, but the girl who was in the wings team before me in Townsville was my spray tanner back then. But she was like to me, you should apply for this job at Red Bull, which wasn't in the wings team. It was more of like a student marketing role, which was boys and girls could do it. It wasn't about what you looked like at
all. Just needed a resume, basically. Yeah.
And she's like, you should apply and you should send some photos with it as well. And I was like, okay. And she's like, maybe some like, you know, if you've got any from like cheerleading, because I did cheerleading for the Cowboys, bikini modeling, any of those kinds of things, send them in. So I send in like this portfolio of like, you know, back then you used to walk around with like a digital camera.
Yeah.
Digital camera photos of like me in bikini modeling comps at the Mad Cow. Like, could anything be more cringe?
That is amazing.
To my then future employer. She gave me an interview, thank God. And so I went in for the interview and she was like, just so you know, as well, you didn't actually need to send photos in for this role.
But you got hot the job. Rig.
I didn't get that role. A guy ended up getting that role, but she was like, now that I know about you, I'll let you know if anything comes up specifically in the wings team. And funnily enough, my spray tanner ended up getting fired and I took her job.
Karma for stitching me up with a modeling job.
She was okay with it though, because she got fired under her own circumstances. Okay. And I was like, sorry, babe, I just have to take this opportunity.
Yeah. Sorry, but I'm going to take the job.
Yeah, but I'll take it. Yeah. And then Nick started working with us, and then that's how we became really close. And we also studied at uni together.
Yeah.
What did you study? Business?
Marketing.
Business marketing.
And so we graduated from uni I think I had one more year because I did an extra, I did like a double degree. So I had an extra year to go. And I remember I was like, just so badly wanted Nick to stay working with me at Red Bull. And back then, ideally, you're a student to work for Red Bull. So
yeah. But yeah, so we both worked at Red Bull there and then wanted to hang on to that dream forever.
Because it's so good.
It was so much fun. But then, yeah, ended up getting a real job. So we both moved down to Brisbane.
Mm.
And yep. you were still studying and working for Red Bull down there.
Yeah, I got my job Brisbane at Red Bull.
Yeah, and then my job, I worked for an advertising agency, like doing like operations. So I do like all of the sort of outdoor media campaigns. So like manage groups of like promo girls and like sort of pitch
She
ideas.
Went from being the grid girl to managing the girls.
Yeah. So I knew. I was like, Biatch, you are not sick. You're hungover. It's Sunday.
Yeah, literally.
But so that was my first job out of uni.
My first job was in fashion marketing.
I was going to say, so have you always had a passion for fashion?
I love saying that.
A pash for fash.
A pash for fash. Yeah, I would say we definitely both have.
It is funny though, because like I think about Nick and I compare it to like other girls that work in the fashion industry, especially like fashion girls from Sydney and stuff. I don't know, is it like imposter syndrome? Like I still don't feel like I ever was as cool as the girls that were actually fashion girls back then.
I think, I know what you mean. We just more so fucking love getting dressed up and going to festivals and buying clothes at markets and shit like that.
Did the festival theme kind of inspire you guys to start? Like how did you make the decision to be, hey, let's go start a clothing label?
Well, I was working at Mink Pink back then, which was like the tits of like, you know, young girls fashion back then. And I feel like whilst they were still a fashion brand, they were that kind of like really fun festival outfits. Yeah. Like remember the shredded denim shorts
that
we all had? Everyone had those.
And I feel like that was kind of like a reflection of like I wouldn't have gotten a job at Sass & Bide when I was that young. I just wasn't kind of chic enough. So the brand was more suited to like what I was like going to wear. And so I think that kind of also like pairs in with Jagger and Stone. It's a similar price point and it's like a similar like cool young girl and we're not trying to sell Dion Lee.
Yeah.
Although we'd love to. Now that we're a bit older, we'd love to.
Yeah. More you might transition into that eventually.
Yeah.
So who came up with the idea to take the leap?
Well, we were doing, before anything, we started We The Wild Ones, which was our joint Instagram account. Yes. And we noticed that Instagram was becoming a thing and I started sending like Mink Pink to people and I was like, to Nick, people are like getting free stuff. And we were like, what? Free outfits? Like,
and back then on Instagram too, it was like, if you got tagged by someone, like, because Luce would send me shit and I'd put up a photo in the Mink Pink bikini and like Mink Pink would reshare you and you'd get
which
like
also was
700
me, by the way.
Followers.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what I mean? It was like very impactful back then. I guess it's like people with TikTok now. Like, you know, they're addicted to it because it can like really grow you. Whereas we were like, fuck, this is sick.
Yeah.
And we were just stoked on a few free clothes.
I'd like give Nick like free bikinis and stuff and then like upload the photos of her to the Mink Pink Instagram.
Yeah.
Just baiting ourselves from day one.
Yeah. My boss was always kind of like, you got to stop posting yourself and your friend on our Instagram. And I was like, So we kind of just decided to make a joint thing from that.
Oh, it was after Coachella.
Yeah.
Sorry. So we both went to Coachella and like, I remember back then on Fuck All Money, God, I did some online shopping and I was, you know, wearing like homemade brands and stuff and like lack of color hats and you know we had like all of our outfits like carefully planned and I remember at Coachella we were like uploading photos and they were getting like heaps of likes back then and we were like wow, this is crazy. Like Blender was coming up that year and Lucy and I were like, fuck, we should start a joint Instagram for Splendor and try and get some free clothes to wear there.
Yeah, I love how it's all just been based around the free clothes.
We just wanted outfits, hey?
Yeah. And we were really lucky because I'd met a lot of the buyers that stocked Mink Pink. So, for example, the buying team at Princess Polly.
Yes.
We had no followers, but they were kind of like, oh, you've got no followers, but we know you'll go and get some cool photos wearing our stuff. So
here you go.
We'll give you some outfits. Mm. And we were like, amazing, because if we get a good photo, then they'll probably repost it.
Yeah.
And therefore we'll get all the follow through from these big accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So we were lucky to have that up on the system that we kind of were able to have that in with these brands or whatever. And so we went to Splendor that year and our poor friends, like I'll never, we just literally made them take photos of us for hours.
Oh.
Thankfully, we were always kind of the ones that like bought a lot of the stuff for the camp set up and everything. So we're like, it's, you know, we've made big vibes. Can you come and take photos for us for like 3 hours? And
you owe us.
It was definitely not 3 hours because our whole premise was get a photo, then get pissed.
Yeah. Oh,
thank God we marketed ourselves like that from day one.
Literally.
You are your authentic selves.
We are our authentic selves.
It just kind of started to grow from there. This was in the time before influencers were really making money from Instagram. It was very much when people were still doing things in exchange for clothes. And I think, you know, like we were saying before, a lot of people were doing things because they wanted to grow their Instagram accounts. Yeah. So they were doing it
for free.
Yeah. And then we just kind of kept chipping away at that. I moved back up from Sydney and Nick moved down from Brisbane. So we both moved to the Gold Coast and moved in together on the Goldie.
That was a bit of like the universe working for us. Like I was spending every weekend down the coast anyway. So I was like, get me out of Brisbane and I'm going dizzy. Like I need to be by the beach. Having heard whispers that I was going to move down there. My boss was like, well, we'll just set you up like in fear of losing me. And I was always like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just too good to be true. And then Luce called me and she was like, oh my God, babe, I've been offered a job at Princess Polly. And I was like, no way. She's like, on the Gold Coast. And I was like, no way. I've just been offered like an office on the Gold Coast. Yeah. And so we were like, let's do it.
Yeah. It was really crazy. It was meant to be. Yeah. So we both moved to the Goldie. And I don't know, like there was just something in my guts and Nick's guts that was just kind of like, I just knew that there was going to be like potential for what we were doing with Wildlife.
Just had that feeling. Yeah.
And I was just like, the idea of just not having to work and just get free clothes and travel around was just so enticing back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm like, I'd much rather just run our businesses.
Yes.
It's weird how it changes. But back then we were in our like early 20s. So we were kind of like, this is just the idea of potentially that being the end goal.
Yeah.
Because I think initially that was the end goal for us, to just have an Instagram.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah, yeah,
I think it was just more like flexibility. Like I always worked while we did it. Do you know what I mean? I never ever really saw a future where we didn't work just doing influencing. You know what I mean? Like, so I eventually left that job and stripped back to like a 3 day a week marketing job so that we could do both because we were just finding that we had to say no to a lot of opportunities that would come up, you know, like
travel and
travel, like you know.
Yeah, we were just starting to find, but we moved to the Gold Coast and still worked full time for I think it was about 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But by the end of that 3 years, it was starting to get really kind of like, we either had to leap in fully to being like all influencers or whatever you wanted to say at the time, or just leave go back to our full-time jobs. Because not only was influencing picking up, but also so was like our careers.
Yeah.
Like I, at that point, was managing a team. So was Nick. So our responsibilities at work were getting bigger as well.
Yeah, okay.
So there just wasn't the opportunity to really do both. But it was a real slow burn for us. Like you do see those people that they're like one night they're just Joe Blow on the street. The next day they've got 200,000 followers and that's their full-time job forever. Yeah.
It was always work for us. And I think because we were marketing girls, we always sort of looked at it like...
You understood the process,
You know, like we'd go and do like planned like content shoots. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like just... It was definitely the same, still felt like work.
I feel like mine was slow burn. Like it was very much like purposeful. And I had an idea of where I wanted to go. Where some people are just like, I posted a video and
it went nuts.
Yeah,
it's gone viral.
Yeah,
100%.
And like we used to, when we did make that executive decision, I feel like it was probably coming close to the Coachella of 2017. And I think we had about like 25,000 followers.
Yeah.
Maybe 30. No, maybe more. Maybe we had about 50,000 followers. And we were like, we've decided Coachella is got like, that's the bones of our business. We do really well when we go to Splendor every year.
Yeah.
It's how we can make money. People know us as festival girls. Let's pitch to have a brand to take us to Coachella. Even though now you'd have to have hundreds of thousands of followers to get that kind of opportunity. Back then we were like, let's pitch. Let's see what we can put together and offer. Mm-hmm. And like, I think we put it together, this package, which included flying me, Nikki and Carleen, who was our photographer and now one of our like best friends. I think we only asked for like $6,000 or $7,000.
No, it was 10.
Was it?
Mm.
10 grand.
That's to cover everything though for everyone. Oh. And we like were shooting like the whole time we were there.
Yeah. And because I remember it just being like pittance. Yeah, to fly three people and house them in America as well as Coachella.
We just needed
tickets.
A bit of help financially to go and see Beyonce.
Yeah. But we did it.
Yeah.
And it was for Camilla. And we literally, to this day, the outfit that we wore at Coachella and the photo that we got was their most liked photo on Instagram ever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I reckon it was that around then, because that was in like April. And then we knew we were going overseas on these big, long extended trips in like July. Yeah. I think it was in that April to July period that we kind of decided that we were like, all right, we're going on this big trip, going to do the travel life thing, and then we're going to like just come back and commit to this as like a full-time, long-term thing.
So when you came back and decided to commit, was Jagger and Stone in mind?
We did that on the trip.
Yeah.
So on the trip, you guys decided, let's start our own brand.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We both like left jobs that we actually both really liked.
Yeah.
And that were, you know, doing well for us, and there was like future opportunities and everything, and we were kind of like, fuck, what are we going to do when we go back? Because if we do go back to our jobs, then the other stuff will suffer.
Yeah.
So what do we want to do? Like make a decision. And then we're like, you know, we always had it in the back of our mind to start a brand. Like it's never like, it's not like that was like, oh my God, on this trip, we had this idea.
Yeah.
But we were like, fuck, should we actually commit and do it? So we designed up like our whole first range.
How did you decide on the name?
That
came after, because we were called We the Wild Ones then. We kind of were like, should we call the brand We the Wild Ones?
Yeah.
We were kind of in two minds because we were like, whilst we like being influencers, we don't
want
to be.
You don't want your brand to be directly just you.
No, exactly. And we didn't want to like cannibalize us working with other brands too, because that's how we were still making money. So we were like, we need to keep them separate.
It was a real crossroads though, because like on my last day at my job before we left, I remember my boss pulled me into this weird little office that I'd never been in before, to be honest.
Soundproof.
And offered me a just unreal job opportunity to come back to. And I just remember being like, my life has two very different paths in front of it.
I love that.
One is like, you know, a real career girl.
One safe, you know.
Earning a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then one, you know, basically we were going on this trip where not only did I spend every penny that I had, I actually came back with $5,000 credit card debt to technically at that point, no job. And then also we knew we were going to start the brand. So we knew that we were going to have to spend money to even do that, of which we had to, I had to borrow $15,000 from like my brother and stuff. It was kind of like one of those long-term serious pain and potential gain, or just like instant.
But if comfort. You didn't choose that, you would always wonder.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, look at it now, like it was worth it. And weirdly, we just weren't scared.
Yeah. Mm. Well, isn't it funny? You're not scared though when you don't have that much to lose. I feel like you get more scared now, right? It's like you've built all this stuff and you've got to like maintain it. You got to make the right decisions. And I don't know, it's like you get less confident. But when you first start, you're like, yeah, I can
and
do anything.
And you're super hungry for it. You're like, you know, the idea is born and you're like, oh my God. Yeah. Now it's like, fuck.
Well, we at the time were like living, there was four of us, sometimes five, living in one apartment.
Yeah.
We both drove shitty cars. Like you said, we did not have, we were very robust or whatever that word is, where basically anything could happen and I could have gone and got a job at the local cafe and I probably would have still been able to make ends meet.
Which is why like 20s is the best time to take all of those risks, because
100%.
There isn't like there's so much opportunity, and obviously 30s too, but I just feel like specifically in your 20s, there's just no fear of what could go wrong.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Like for me now, if I was to take a risk like that and end up kind of in that financial position where I was, you know, in debt and like I've got a mortgage now, you know, we've got
responsibilities.
The decision-making process would be a lot different.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? We've got a lot more at risk and at stake. Mm. We've got wages to pay. Yeah, things like that. It's just different. Yeah. So,
when was the point where you're like, wow, this is going to be successful? Or was it a slow burn sort of?
Well, like the first night we launched.
Yeah.
So obviously like we started.
Again, we went to Coachella before we launched and we shot our first campaign over there. When I got back from the trip, my other job wanted me back and I was like, perfect. And they were a clothing brand. And I said, yes, but just so you know, I am starting my own brand.
Yeah.
Could be a conflict of interest, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, that's fine. When are you starting it? And so I kind of worked up until we left to go and do this shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
To start the brand.
Yeah. And I had some freelance and she clients was freelance. That I was working.
Yeah. So we never just went, this is going to be amazing. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. Like, we still were like trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
In other ways, like to support ourselves and everything. But like as soon as we left for that trip to Coachella, it was just like, all right,
that was
cut ties and let's go all in.
Yeah.
And but your we first had launch. Influencing as well. So it's like, you know, you're very lucky.
We were lucky in the way that we did always have the opportunity to still keep making money, even if it was just from posting on Instagram. And so again, that kind of eliminates some of the risk.
Yes.
Yeah.
So once Jagger started to take off, did you cut back on influencing?
Not at the start.
I mean, I don't think influencing is something that someone can sit there and claim that they fully do full time. Like if someone sits around and says to me, I'm a full time influencer, I'm like, okay, well, that means you get a lot of time at the beach every day and probably going to lunch with your mates.
Well, that's kind of true.
Yeah. So we were kind of always happy to do both.
Yeah.
And we were using Wild Ones as like easy, fun income at the same time, really enjoying the
hustle.
Something yeah. that yeah. we love to do anyway. Yeah. We're like working yeah. girls. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine just being an influencer. It
yeah.
would drive me nuts, I reckon.
So then Jagger obviously took off. It's super successful. Do you want to tell everyone what Jagger is just in case they aren't aware?
It's our clothing label.
Yes.
Yeah. And what, online now.
How would you describe your...
To be honest...
It's evolved a lot.
Yeah.
yeah.
We're talking about this yesterday. We're like, I don't know what other brand really sits beside us at the moment because we started so niche, like so like, you know, you looked at it, you're like, that's Jagger and Stone. It was like very festival focused, yeah. like definitely not your everyday wear. There was see-through pants in there.
It was like yeah.
lace ups. And now we actually do like so much. Like, you know, we've got like sportier stuff. We've yeah. got
street.
Like evening stuff. We've got, you know, festival stuff. Yeah. So... Mm-hmm.
Like if I was to compare, say, for example, like Jagger and Stone to maybe like Crop Shop,
yeah.
for example, yeah. like Crop Shop is like predominantly like
athleisure.
So like I guess you're owning a category that yeah. can be like for a magnitude of different people,
mm-hmm.
whereas we're kind of designing every single thing for a certain kind of girl,
yes.
from her undies to her swimwear to her at festival outfit, then what she's wearing to a wedding on the weekend, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Mm. And is that purposeful or did that just kind of come about?
It's just kind of been through us trying things. Yeah. Like, we want to do that. Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, it worked, didn't work. Move on to the next.
Mm. And then from that, you decided to launch a podcast. Where did that come from and what made you think to do that?
I guess it just got to the point where we were doing the Instagram stuff within the kind of influencer space. There's a bunch of different ways you can go. You can do YouTube. We've tried that too. You know, you could have done TikTok now. Yeah. But at
different
that point,
style of Instagram. Like I remember when we went on that trip, we were trying to be like travel bloggers.
Yeah.
So you've really given everything.
We gave everything yeah, a red hot crack,
good.
Babe. Like
it's
we,
good.
That's 100%. What I mean. It was yeah. definitely didn't come overnight for us. We
but were this like is what hustling. People need to know because I think a lot of people do. They would just be like, oh, they started a podcast and it was successful. It's like, well, no, you tried several different things, but your yeah. audience best, like you guys are great talkers. I remember it before your podcast, I would always watch your stories because yeah. you were funny, you were natural, you were authentic and it was very real,
when
right?
I used to do hectic car rants.
Yeah.
I love car rant highlight.
But, you know, that's we just tried different yeah. things all the time. And like it was good because we kind of learned what worked, what didn't. We learned what we enjoyed, what didn't.
Yeah. But yeah, like for the podcast, for example, like it definitely didn't come naturally to me at the start. I was like we re-recorded out.
Yeah.
Oh, like get me on my own. And like even now I can chat. But yeah. it's like to do that initially, I was like, oh, this is so not natural to me.
Yeah.
We like re-recorded our first episode again just because we were both so like nervous. It wasn't flowing.
Yeah.
But then I guess like even feedback from, we call them our punters, like yeah. our listeners that would say to me over the years, they'd be like, wow, we feel like we actually know you now. Do you know what I mean?
Because you're more
like
comfortable.
A, yeah, more yeah. comfortable than like, you know, you do so easily share and like naturally share more of your personality on a podcast, oh, I feel.
Well, Instagram is a highlight reel, you know,
totally.
And even if people think they know someone from Instagram, it's like you actually see like 2 minutes of their day if
yeah.
someone
yeah.
posts six stories or totally. Whatever it is. So it's like a podcast, yeah. you really do
you
get to know someone.
Like things come yeah. to you, like we tell all of our funny stories, you know,
yeah.
like you just
yeah,
be like
never
cracking
go to
up.
Instagram stories and be like, all right, we guys have got a story and tell it. Like it's more
no.
like,
no.
Here's us running late to the plane, literally, if
yeah.
we manage to get a video of it in real time.
yeah.
But it's not like we're going to jump on our stories and be like, so this one time we ran yeah. late to the flight.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
How do you stories. Guys go spending so much time together as friends, business partners? Like, do you guys feel you have to set boundaries to keep that friendship and relationship healthy?
It's definitely evolved.
Yeah.
Sure.
yeah.
And like, I think as well, we work really well together, like really, really well. Now, like we live separately and we live like 15 minutes apart.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like now.
Probably like healthier boundaries.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's different. Like when you're at work, I don't really look at that as like
time
know,
together.
Work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when we're
yeah.
at work, like we still like chat and stuff, but it's not like when you hang
yeah.
out on the weekends or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like.
There's still that certain amount of pressure though, right? Like just like if you're both stressed or you just feel like it just works for you.
I think we're really lucky in the way that when it comes to work stress and stuff yeah. in particular, we're
you
very, very
them.
Supportive of each other.
That's nice.
And we always kind of find a way to like, you
and
know,
usually we're stressed about the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always say, I'm like, it's so good. Like, even if we're like really down about something at work or like just feel like we're like fucking hitting a wall, and usually it'll be like, you know, our personalities are like, you know, I'm always like pretty chill, like pretty mm-hmm. positive. And but then like if I drop the ball,
yeah.
Lucy's really pulls into line and she's like, no, babe, right, we got this. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah, you
so
guys
it's like we really like can
perfect
pick
balance.
Up on each other's moods and make sure that we both don't go down like a spiraling sinkhole.
Yeah. It's a good dynamic. And we met working together, just the two of us.
I reckon there's magic in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've always had a really, really good work dynamic. And we're really good. Like we both have the same work ethic too. Yeah. So we both hard workers.
Mm. Yeah.
And so
like similar like career progression history
it works really well, but yeah, in terms of like working together, socializing together, going to the gym and everything, like it's definitely like evolved over time. And like naturally too, like as you get older and stuff like that, no one like that's in their 40s goes to the gym, works, only parties with their one person.
Like
that's just unnatural.
And I guess there's probably so many girls out there that love fashion or are thinking about, you know, taking the step like you guys did, taking that risk. If you could go back and give any advice to someone who is considering it, what would be your advice, like to starting a business or taking that risk?
I think we look back on it with such fond memories because it was always so fun for us.
Yeah.
But really, while we were having all of that fun, we were actually working really hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, like on Sundays, we would like get our friend that was a makeup artist to come over and then our other friend that was a photographer to come over, and we'd spend the whole day on a Sunday going and shooting like weird outfits in the forest and stuff and at the beach and all over to make content, like when really and truly I would have much preferred to just be like sitting at the pub or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I feel like that's probably a good lesson. You know, if you are thinking about starting something, you're probably really passionate about it.
Yeah.
So just do it. Like, even if it is on the side, like if you have to keep working, like just start making steps to make it happen, because you'll probably find that it won't be work for you anyway. You'll just be loving it. Like just start, do something, like just take, you know, the tiniest bit of action. You know, if it's a fashion label, try and find a supplier
or
just like start somewhere, just start looking into it.
Agree. It's like the same with fitness. It's like, just start. Literally. But I guess when you guys did start doing all of the stuff that you did, how did you find, like, did you have a strong support network? Did you find people were like positive towards you, negative towards you? What was that like for you guys?
I found probably for a lot of my decisions over the last, like, well, however long it's been since Nick and I have been friends, having each other when it comes to all of that kind of stuff really and truly has just made like a natural lack of stress.
Yeah.
Well, we still get stressed at times, but it's alleviated a huge level of stress because you just have someone else to bounce off. And even just absorb it. Like if I know that Nikki is going through the exact same thing as me at the same time, it just makes me just naturally have more peace of mind.
Like all of our friends were really supportive, I feel, like in the early days.
That's nice.
And, you know, we didn't really have many issues with trolls. Like, we've been pretty lucky.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's good.
And, you know, as time kind of progressed, we have also naturally made a lot of friends in the industry.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, you'll hang out because you do this. But it's like, well, sometimes it naturally happens because you're 100%. All in the same boat. You know, you can, like, talk about similar thing.
Yeah. And like, you know, Carlene, for example, which is the chick that came on our first Coachella
shoot. I shot with Carlene for CSB only like a couple of weeks
ago. Did you love it?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's the best, eh?
She's so good. Cause I'm like, listen, Carlene, I'm not a model. You're gonna have to give me a lot of direction. She's like, no, babe, you'd be fine.
Oh, she loves giving direction. Like, babe, if she can take a photo of me, she can take a photo of you. But now she's one, like, you know, we met her technically on the job.
Yeah.
But now she's like literally like one of our best friends.
So what's your strength within the business, Nikki?
So I do more of like, I guess, the shoots and the marketing side. And then Luce is more sales.
I don't even know what I do really, to be honest. No, I like
wholesale. And
I feel like you're definitely like networker.
Oh, I am really good. Because I have the app as well, which is a weird one for me because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So naturally I do spend a lot of time reaching out to different people to learn new skills.
Yeah.
And we do actually lean a lot on some of my past employees from my first jobs and stuff for advice because they're always really helpful.
We even hired one. Yeah. She was fucking amazing.
We did, So that's been a huge part of, like, you know, our first supplier was now weirdly girls I used to work with when we, it's weird.
Yeah,
the industry does become so small.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you've worked in one business in your early 20s, by the time you're like in your 30s, you're pretty much going to know someone that works at every major competitor. Yes.
So remember that, listeners.
Yeah.
It all comes back around.
Yes.
So, you know, always treat people like with respect, make genuine connections. Yeah. Like,
love that. Yeah,
network in your early days. Like,
you know, we even work with a lot of like our Red Bull connections.
Yeah.
From our early days. Yeah. It's crazy. You don't, I guess it's all industry relevant as well. But for us, we've always worked in this kind of marketing, events,
creative,
music, fashion space. And now as like, you know, you kind of start planting the seeds when you're younger without realizing it. And then now we're like, oh, our old manager from Red Bull is actually a digital marketing guy. Let's reach out to him.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think it's, I love the, yeah, be kind. It does come back around.
Yeah. And just like be like, you know, it's so crazy when you open like even like one small door with someone, then they introduce you to someone else and then they end up being like something else.
Yeah,
and
we always love saying be interested and interesting.
Yes, you know? Love that. Okay, last question. What is next for you guys? What are your ambitions for this year?
I feel like we've got a really strong foundation now across all of our businesses because we also have a wine.
I know. Izzy and I actually were having some of it the other night before we went out.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was, yeah, good.
The rosé or the seltzer?
The rosé. I haven't tried the seltzer.
We've got all the foundations in place and everything that we're really kind of ready to just see a lot of structure and a lot of growth.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
More processes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really excited for this year.
Yeah.
Like even just the collections we've got coming up are really cool. Like I think everything's just like a bit more elevated. So we're trying to like keep the elevation going with in-house as well because we're also just really focusing on growth this year now that we've got all of those like procedures down pat.
Yeah.
So yeah, just putting our best foot forward.
Well, today I wanted to chat to the girls all things them because as I said, I have been on their podcast a couple of times and we did just do a podcast on goal setting.
Yeah.
So if you do want to listen to that, head on over to the happy hour. But I actually love just learning more about, your journey, I guess, and how it all, you know, came undone. And it's nice to know that you guys chipped away at it for a long period of time and that it is hard work because I think that a lot of people assume they see where you are now, right? And they don't understand how much actually went into it.
It's definitely like, I was actually thinking about this weirdly, maybe this morning. It's definitely been like a slow, maybe not, I don't know, a slow burn. But also I would say in the last probably 3 years, it's definitely gone from something into like a whole nother kind of level.
Yeah.
Felt like the hard work was like paying off.
Yes.
Definitely. Last, you know definitely. What
I mean? 100%. Yeah. And I think also with the starting of our podcast, we went from being like influencers to kind of being these people that girls like genuinely connect with, which we love.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. And I think sometimes when we go to our brunches and our live shows and stuff like that, we're just kind of like,
it just blows.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, so you guys are here for us. But yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for
finding us in the end.
Oh, thank you for waiting for us, to be honest.
And we'll definitely have to get you back for how you guys balance your health and fitness. Yeah. And
let us actually do that first and then we'll report back.
We'll report back.
We're on the journey. We're doing the research now, so we'll let you know.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.